I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
So where's the other microphone?
Right there.
Oh, I didn't even see that one. Never mind. Okay, sorry about that. So, we're going to have a review of the stormwater analysis model, and Ms. Miller and Ashley Emery.
Yeah, I think I'll start off, and I'm not sure if you all remember, but this is the one. Ashley Emery from Peninsula Financial Consulting is the one that did our rate study in 2013-14, and he still had the old model, so we were able to give him all new numbers, and he was able to update that and use some parameters that we gave him to do some what-ifs and all that. But before we really start on that, I wanted Seth just to take a few minutes and just talk about what is stormwater and why do we have it, why do we need stormwater utility and rates, and then I'll talk about how we set rates. So,
yeah, Seth. And I thought this would be important just to remind us all of, you know, why are we doing this? And so many people think, well, why should I pay anything for stormwater when it just rained from the sky and it doesn't run off my property? And so, but there's, whenever we congregate into a dense urban environment, there's major impacts in water quality to the runoff going into streams and lakes and wetlands. And through the Clean Water Act, we are mandated to mitigate those water quality impacts. So there's two components of our water utility that these funds pay for. This one is meeting our stormwater discharge permit requirements that's mandated by the state through the Clean Water Act. And secondly is the flow component of transporting and conveying stormwater in a safe manner, the urban runoff. And the main value there is protecting private property and preserving and protecting our public roads. Most of the water runoff follows down ditches and through culverts and storm drains ultimately to waterways. But if you didn't take care of that, you're going to be washing the roads out, and poor drainage is one of the major causes of failure of street systems or asphalt. So that's kind of the basics of why we're here, and it is an important fund and has important functions that are required and needed. So,
and so then a lot of cities have said, had figured out, well, how do we figure out how to charge all these citizenry in our cities? And so one of the common ways is to take impervious surface, which means your roofway, your paved concrete driveway. If you're a business, your concrete out front and your roof and all that, where the water is not going down into the soil, it's deflecting off, and cars driving in and out of businesses, leaving oil, and that's deflecting off. So they call that impervious surface. And so when we originally set up the stormwater utility, Dan religiously went to every business in Black Diamond faithfully and measured what the area of impervious surface was, and we originally set up all those businesses. If a business grows, such as a school that has more surface now, their impervious surface grows, so their impact to the whole system increases. And so you call it
ESU, an equivalent surface unit.
Surface unit. I'm not sure I wrote that right in here, but that's...
Right, no, that's correct.
Yeah, surface unit.
When we set that up originally, we set the equivalent surface unit at 3,000 square feet. Most homes are, you know, around 2,000 to 2,500. There's some homes that are much higher, but the council at that time set that, shifted a little higher to give businesses a break because it was hitting some of the businesses pretty hard because they had, you know, big parking lots. And that was in 2008, and the businesses were having a tough time. The one aspect of an equivalent surface unit that it kind of gets at the reasoning for having the water utility or the stormwater utility is that big parking lots usually mean a lot more cars. So if you have a lot more cars to your business, that's a water quality as well as the use of the roads that reflects basically back to our cost. So I think it's a fair way to distribute costs.
Right. And so we have all those measured in our utility system, so every business then has this equivalent unit, like your 1.5, you know, you're a little bit bigger than a home or 2 times or whatever. So we have all those measurements in there. So that's kind of what stormwater is and why we need it and how we've set rates. There are other ways to set rates, but this is how the city adopted the rate and what we're going to proceed with right now in the future. So when we started putting the budget together and I did all the funds in the whole city and I got down to almost the very last fund, which was stormwater, I went, oh dear, they don't have enough cash. And it became evident that I really needed to take a closer look at that fund because the cash had really decreased to a level that it wasn't sustainable for next year. One of the things we did to be more efficient in the city was we had all the people around Lake Sawyer who only received a stormwater bill of $16. So approximately 500 bills a month went out with a stamp and an invoice, pay your $16, and then 500 little $16 checks or credit card transactions came in. And it wasn't efficient for the customers or for us. So we worked with King County, and they do Renton and they do Maple Valley. They said, we can add it to the residents, not everybody's, but just the residents, $16 rate, add it to the property tax bill and collect it twice a year. And it goes out with the property tax notice, and people pay it that way. So over time, we've shifted. We have about 1,500 businesses or residents that are collected that way. We also have the Lifeline program, where if you are disabled or low-income senior, you can qualify and get a half-price rate. We have a 50% discount right now. So that's really good to help the low income. We have some special situations where, like Rainier View, where they have the senior living. We build those ourselves because people would be in and out, and some of them are qualifying, some of them don't. And it was too hard. The county can only have the rate once a year, and they can only bill it once a year. So when we knew we were looking at these rates, I called the county and I said, we need to increase the rates for next year. When is your cutoff date? And I think she gave me some November date. And I went like, we can't make that. What about if we go through council, have a public hearing, get this adopted? She gave me a drop dead date of December 13th, get her an ordinance. And then they'll be able to put that on all the residents that they collected. So we took not only the Lake Sawyer, but all the residential $16 charges and moved those to the King County building. So that's made that more efficient both for the citizens and us, and certainly saved us in postage and billing and paper and labor trying to get those deposits to balance every month. So it's been a good process, but the problem has been cash flow. We're like the general fund. We're dependent on those property tax cash flows. We don't get it till April and October. So that put an extra burden on this fund. So I did attach some worksheets here to show the cash flow, and we haven't had that much history, but we had 1 year of history, and it's on page 4 that showed, you know, the money that we collect ourselves, and that's primarily the businesses in the first column, that's 2018. And then the second column over shows King County, and you can see we get a big bunch of money in April and May, and then again another big bunch in October and November. So we have to have cash flow to pay staff salaries, so it puts an extra strain on having needing a little bit more cash in that fund. And so we knew this year that we have approximately 100 new permits already with the 10 trails. And as soon as they call and say install a water meter, we start billing stormwater. So we do water and stormwater at the same time. So we have 100 of those ready to go to King County in addition to the ones that are already collected, but they need to know what that rate is. So I showed that if we just left the rate what it is right now, even with 100 new people, we would have decreased our cash balance down to minus $2,500 by the end of the year. And we can't do that. It's just not, you know, and 10 months out of 12, we'd be at a cash deficit, and we can't do business that way. These funds are all self-sustaining. They have to have their own revenue to support their own expenditures. So then, if you go on to the next page, I said, well, what if we went to $18 a month and did a cash flow on that? And, well, that only decreased our cash position. Let's see, is that right? Do I have the right one in order? 16, 18.
Yeah, this one's 16.
Yeah. So 18, we still were decreasing our cash by 43,000, and it got it down to 35,000 by the end of the year, and that, again, is just not sustainable. So we said, and we had months where we were in the deficit, so then we went, okay, what if we did 19? Because what we want to do is we don't want the rate to be too high. We don't want to have to go, oh, gosh, we've collected too much money. We've got to look with growth. How's it been affected? But if we did a $19, which is $3 a month rate increase, that would only decrease our cash $22,000 approximately and leave us $57,000. And then we used Ashley then to do a bunch of what-ifs out in the future. Say, now add growth at different levels. Let's see what that growth mixture and a rate increase would do to make sure it's not too high and not too low. What had happened in the last time he did a rate study in 2014, it showed that by 2015 we needed to go to $20 an hour. Well, gross helped that a little bit because right now we're saying let's do 19. But tonight we're going to have Ashley kind of go over his model and show what different rates of growth would do to the rate and how that would leave cash. Right now, we're not funding a lot of capital in here. We're just saying we want to get the operations, just the maintenance and the ordinary costs that we have to pay every month. We may be back. Growth may help. I think his model will show down the road if we keep having that growth. That'll really help us with some of our capital expenditures. Most of them are out a ways, so we have some time to go through that. But
the other thing that's not covered in this is the impacts or the cost of our new discharge permit, which will be coming at us next year. The first year, it's not of the permit, which we'll be discussing a little later on our stormwater management program plan. We'll be discussing it or have a public hearing on that at council tonight. But that, the impact, or we're not sure what all that's going to cost us.
Like in 2020.
We haven't done that analysis as yet. So, but that'll come up for the 2020 budget. We'll assess what that's going to cost us.
So before he starts, the second thing we kind of did is we looked at you know, here we're doing a $3 rate increase when we probably should have been doing smaller ones all along. But the thought was growth was right around the corner, growth was right around the corner. And we finally kind of turning the corner, but by now we've used the cash flow and we need to get a bigger rate to start with. So to keep from getting ourselves in that situation, try to adopt a CPI, consumer price index, inflationary rate increase. So if it's 2%, you know, even this year I think the rate was 3.6%. That's only 57 cents a month. But that helps over time as you add more customers, and it helps kind of offset the cost. So those are some things that Ashley will kind of mention and go over his background and experience in as he goes through his model. So I think I'll turn it over, and then I'll come back to my report and talk about what some of the increases will be to the businesses and how that compares to other cities.
So can I just interrupt for a second? Can everybody see the screen? Because we could move the tables down.
And I can turn the lights down more, too, if you'd like to see how that goes.
Do you want to move closer?
No, I can see
it. I can turn. Do you want me to try the lights and see how that works?
The light would be good.
All right.
Kind of
have
the glare.
Okay, let's start with a couple financial basics for any utility. But the storm is very little utility in storm. The cost of operating the storm system or the administration,
it's the ever-increasing requirements for water quality that are driving the costs, not the control and flow of water. That's maintaining ditches and cleaning streets and this sort of thing, cleaning manholes, catch basins. So those storm water between water, sewer, and storm, storm is a very level. There's just not a lot of pumps and up and down. You have the King County issue, which causes this temporary cash flow dilemma where you have to have enough to be actually paying the bills because the bills are going all along and you've got 5 months without getting any revenues in. Now, normally this is really simple. It's what you have your savings account for. You don't care about what happens in the given year as long as the endpoint's fine and you have enough cushion there. Well, because it's a new utility, we really don't have a cushion. Sewer, I usually like to see, for a community of this size, I'd like to see about $1 billion in the bank. Water, $500,000-$600,000. Stormwater, $700,000. Sewer projects are huge and they're expensive. Water less so, and it lasts longer. Stormwater, they last even longer, but the rate is so low that you have to be much more careful about spending money. So given your unique situation with the growth, what we're concerned about, what May and Seth communicated to me, was we don't want to set a rate that when the growth occurs that is going to make the revenue, the balance sheet look like, well, what were you guys doing? You guys are taking our money for nothing here. So that's the trick here is coming up with a multi-year look that says, okay, this is a reasonable course, and if growth is a little less than we expected or hoped, then we're okay. If it's greater, do we have some methods to adjust this so that we're not growing the revenues exponentially with more than we should? So we're starting at the point of your current rate, $16. And I've looked at the numbers, and May's correct. I mean, $18, $19, you need to be at that point. But in the long run, you can see, and this has no growth. So we're just, hey, just stick our head in the sand. We're not doing anything. This is what's going to happen. What you're looking at here is your checkbook up here. And you don't, guys don't have any debt right now, so all you have to do is just pay your operating expenses. But we also have capital costs. And so this is your savings account. This is where you stash your money. And even though majority of the projects are being funded with grants, you've got a few projects that doesn't cover 100%. So you can see this line gives our capital, expected capital, the projects. And above that are funds that you're getting from the state or various grants. So the net capital revenue is all you're going to be responsible. Right here, that's a little inflated because the model is saying, hey, you've lost money in your checking account. We need to pull it out. Well, you don't have it to pull out. But you can see the difference here. The first 2 years, you've got everything covered. And then we're 30 grand short on this capital project. 90 grand there, then we're good. And then 70, 80 grand. So it's not a huge capital burden, but fact is you need some capital funds. You need the reserve account building to be able to handle that. So with that, May started at the $18 range. That was our first starting point. It gets us to 18. And you can see with no growth, we're still unacceptable. It's better, obviously, but it's not going to do the trick. Took it up to $19, and you can see, okay, we've stabilized. We're basically, this is about where you need to be to say, okay, even without capital, are we okay? And obviously, the trend is not good, and that's because we have no growth. And anytime you let a financial analyst do a projection, he's going to build cost increases into expenses. Staff get increases, costs go up. So that's why the trend starts going down. But now we have the growth, and this is the big, this is the 1,000-pound gorilla. So we're using, we've got three levels of growth here. So this is at zero growth. This is at 50 a year. Assuming that we go this.
Can I just slow down a little bit?
50 houses?
Yeah.
50 single family residences, okay. Yes. So
for a full year, so you really almost have to have slowly 100 so that by the end of the year you get enough full year rates to equal 50.
Yeah, and that's why we did the, you'll see we've got, it's a nuance, but we've got 25 and growing to 50, and that's because we don't assume that they're all going to come in
January 1st.
So it just lags it by 6 months.
So is this based on when the water meters go in and you start the stormwater billing versus certificates of occupancy?
Right. Okay. It has to do with when the water meter is installed. And when it's
which is really pretty much up front.
It is.
Isn't it?
It's the last thing for occupancy that you're going to do. Yes.
Yeah.
They will hold off as long as possible because who wants a utility bill coming?
Yeah.
So when they're it's the last step before,
we can now sell this house. Okay.
So you can see at the 50, all of a sudden things are looking pretty good. Not great. Utilities aren't any different than personal finances.
Mm-hmm.
We like to see about 10%. We should be able to save 10% of our money. And you can see we're a little bit below that, but the trend is good. We're certainly not building reserves, and that's a concern. You never want that trend over more than a couple of years. So that's, I would consider that kind of our baseline here. And
is that 50 homes after the first year and then 100 homes after that, or 50?
You're going to have that leg. You're going to have that leg. So it's, yes, it's assuming 50 a year.
By the following year,
you have
those 50
that have
added all during the year.
Yeah, which is why it jumps back to 50. But that's the lowest.
Yeah.
Now, if we threw on cost of living, and as May suggested, that's there's a power to cumulative effect of this, and you can see for minor changes, we've got to really we're doing this is okay. I would not be telling a client that this they're in trouble with this. This would be okay. You absent any more information like, oh, we've got a lot of big projects in the next comprehensive plan that's going to come along, this would be okay. Now, of course, we've got a lot more potential growth. And if I will select the right one. So this is our mid. This is 100 a year.
Probably 200 permits a year, basically. It's an increase over now, or some commercial, some residential mix that would make an equivalent.
And this is robust, but it's not out of bounds. This, and this is something that you're going to find the adjustment to rates, not from, it's kind of baked in the cake. You have to have a big jump. You really need to go to 19. Your flexibility with the rates is going to be on the cost of living down the line, annually looking at things. Did we get a lot of growth? If you do get the growth, then you can elect not to implement that cost of living that year. And with this pattern, you're building enough sufficient reserves that the next planning stage, which will be about when, Seth, for the next comprehensive plan?
Well, there, we're not mandated to but under have a stormwater comp plan. But it will now be required under our new permit. So I think we have to be 2022 or 2023.
Yeah.
I've never seen a comprehensive plan that didn't have a capital improvement wish list. And the comp plan itself is going to cost you $50,000-$60,000.
Well, and there's water quality projects that we would like to do. You can't get grants for everything. There's projects we'd like to do. We haven't added them to the CID because of the health of the fund. So there's projects that we can and should be doing, but I haven't put them forward until we get through. They're not on our CID at this point.
But we update every 2 years, we update our CID, so we'll be able to relook at that in 2 years. We'll know by then, did the growth stay steady, did it increase, or did it slow down a little bit? And that doesn't mean it would slow down forever, usually, or increase forever. It's usually a little swing in there where maybe it'll slow down for a little while and then pick back up again. So over time, it's smoothed out.
With your reserve balances, the chances are if you get a couple of good-sized capital projects, you're not going to be able to cash finance them, which means debt financing, which will drive
rates really high.
Because that has to be paid for in rates. You're not going to pull that out of the savings account. So you get a $500,000 project or something, and you're going to see that net revenue from operations get cut in half. So I'm not overly, yes, in a from a 5-6 year projection, when we're getting out $100,000 as a net revenue, you'd be like, oh, bad. I'd kind of like to shave that back a bit. But I almost guarantee you in the next 4 or 5 years, you're going to issue some debt for some capital projects. And at least now you'll have the capacity to do that without having to bump rates, which is it's proper management. You shouldn't have to respond to a debt with, oh, I have to do an immediate rate increase to pay for this. Now in the...
When was the last time we did a rate increase? Was that 2014?
2014, 4 years ago.
Okay. That's what happens usually. It's one of the importance of the cost of living approach. Too many clients, the politics gets a little too jumbled, and not having that built-in approach really, it makes it an annual battle. Yeah. Now, if we do really bump things up and it happens quickly, then you can see that it is even more robust.
So what was that measure that you changed?
The growth. So that went up to 150.
That's about 300.
Now, the...
Why is that... Why is the net revenue dropping in the 23, 24, 20?
Because of the cap.
Oh.
This line or the...
The net revenue line.
It's saving itself.
Because
the growth stops.
Oh,
yeah.
So now expenses.
Put it up to a maximum of
700.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And it probably, that wouldn't happen, but we just wanted to go out for a ways of measuring, saying we don't know how many are eventually going to get built, whether they'll plat them and then stop building or whether they'll keep going.
So it's like there'd be a plateau.
Yeah.
You've seen it in the last, you know, growth does never continues as planned. It's like everything else.
Other planning that we do a 6-year plan, so yes. This would make sense. Yeah. And we'll try to keep these updated every few years so that we can keep our eyes on it and not get out of hand.
So is this rate one of those things where we get to a certain size and the pain becomes less for the average homeowner? Or because if you look at our comparative, right, we're above. How do we explain to the citizens of Black Diamond that you're going to pay $19 per ESU when right next door, 4 miles away, they're paying $9.93 per ESU?
Is that Maple?
Maple Valley.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what Maple Valley.
Because, I mean, that rate is higher in the comparative.
They're,
but they're
six
residents.
Times the population.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking.
It's a great point. Remember, we started off with the programmatic cost.
Right.
That's what's going to increase, and that's the other unknown.
Because we're going to have to explain that, right? Because
if we
suggest that we bump it to $19, right, and then a 3% COLA every year, right, we have to explain that to the citizens of the city that say, why am I paying $19 this year, and then $19 plus 3% this year, and then compound that on when Maple Valley is only paying $9.93, and even Redmond's paying $16. The only places paying higher than that are Snoqualmie and Bellevue and Auburn, right?
And we didn't ask for if next year rates either. We only went online to see what the current rates are. So we don't know who has rate increases out in the prospect.
Right, but I mean, there's a huge gap between
$19
and $9.
Yeah.
Almost $10. Right?
Population's a huge
So we need to be able to explain that to them and say, okay, once you get, this is spreading out a large, it's kind of that whole, gee, I want a large pizza. Well, do you want 8 or 10 slices? Oh, I can't eat 10 slices. Just cut it into 8, right? It's the pieces are going to have to be bigger if there's less people, right? Because we have money that we have to spend, right?
I'm just wrapping up a stormwater study for the city of Kenmore, and when we looked at their expenses, almost half were completely due to the new programmatic requirements of the permit, the discharge permit. And those don't vary based on size.
Right.
Now, they do be on the grand scale. You have a little bit more requirements. But the simple fact is, you have those requirements to somebody else. You don't have enough. There's no cheaper. It's a sunk cost. Hey, I have to have an administrator to do this. We have to do these tests. We have to do these monitoring. Doesn't matter whether I have one person or 100 people. And if you got the 100 people, you're going to pay 99 times less.
Well, we just need to be able to explain. You know, they're going to see us at the coffee shop. Again.
Absolutely.
That's an extra $33 a year, $36 a year, right? Why? Yeah. Why do I have to pay that extra when next door they're not paying?
It's a little. It's also a little consolation, but by not doing a rate increase for the last several years, you're actually having to do a higher rate increase now. So that little delay, probably I'd say a dollar of the $3. Yeah. If you'd programmatically been doing this, May wouldn't have to worry about getting it to 19. You probably could be okay at 18 for a couple more years.
Yeah.
But the bank account just isn't there.
Yeah. I think another question is, how can we get by at 19 when Bellevue needs even as many people as they need $28?
Yeah.
So I think there's a level of service issue in there too, that they're doing maybe things at a higher level than we are, and maybe Maple Valley is still coming up to speed on some things. If we didn't do any of that type of thing.
You have the individual variables. How many roads do I have?
Right.
How many ditches do I have?
Well,
many mantles?
Bellevue's got a lot more impervious surfaces than we do, right? Yeah. So they're going to have a lot more stormwater. So I can see why they would be at 20-something instead of...
Catch bases that would be cleaned every year.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got all the pretty trees. They got to stock them out.
But when you look at this, I mean, the real equivalent community here is...
Snow Palm is
a growth community. Really.
They're a growth community. They're you know, maybe twice as large as we are now. But if you compare Snoqualmie Ridge with all the new development that they've had in the last 15 years or so, and Old Town Snoqualmie, it's very equivalent to the same situation that we have here. Plus, you know, when you look at the reality of it too, there's no storm drains at Lake Sawyer, around that whole lake, there's no drains. But we're paying for it, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that because everything drains into Lake Sawyer. So, but when you have to peanut butter spread over a smaller population of houses and commercial buildings, it makes our rates go. It's no different than the water bill. Okay, when we have more residents paying for water, we're not going to have to increase
the economy.
Exactly. So
we have to be able to explain that to folks, right? Because they're not going to be able to explain.
Right.
Now, they're going to complain because that's what they do.
Well, they're going to complain because they see it going up.
Yeah.
Right? If the rate was going down, they wouldn't complain.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to go up.
But then I look at
more than a little bit, right?
People are starting to get pay raises again. So, you know, it's just the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, well, that population is a little over 25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So Mr. Emery pointed out the fact that just by having that inflationary rate in there that we could stock at any time is a good factor.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going, okay, now we're going to reduce your rate and go on the utility and all that, it's just as soon as we can see that growth and cash really keeping up and that growth is really happening, that would be an easy fix for that. He cited that the combination of going with a little less, like I said, we should go to 20, but let's go to 19, do the inflationary rate, and then we can easily stop that in a year that we see that we're growth is really robust. And
well, and I think the average citizen can understand COLAs, right? They understand that possibly go up every year.
They can understand the more pieces in a pie, right? They can understand that we have to distribute it about the people that are here, right? Once there's more people, we can distribute that out more effectively, or, you know, less painfully, whatever way you want to put it. I think people can understand that when they come to us and say, why did my stormwater rate go up? And it's like, well, we haven't done it in 4 years. We should have done it, you know. 2015, right?
Yeah.
So, and this, you know, is helping us get to where we need to be able to have money to do capital projects.
If you translate the total increase into a cost of living, over half of the rate increase is just because you haven't done cost of living for the last 4 years. So you're not really doing it a huge jump. You're doing a small little jump in addition to, hey, we started off behind.
Yeah.
Isn't it true that the last time an analysis was done, it was recommended that we go to $20, right? We didn't.
Yeah.
Right. So at some point, we need to play catch-up.
Yeah, we're right-sizing the ship.
Yeah.
Right?
So let me ask you a question, Seth. So do you know anything about Maple Valley's stormwater, about what they do?
I don't know. I haven't investigated that.
So you don't? When you have public works meetings with them, you don't?
No, it's not. We haven't discussed that subject.
Huh.
Yeah.
I would also be curious to know if this number is correct, because it does seem outlandishly low compared to every single other community.
We don't know what their area of impervious surface is. We didn't really dig into the piece of the rate either.
Well,
if they have commercial, they get a lot more money from commercial. Mm-hmm. We don't have very much.
Well, if their ESU is smaller or bigger or smaller, right? Right, if their ESU is 1,500 square feet instead of 3,000, that explains it right there.
Yeah.
Right, that takes their rate to 18 something, right?
There is
or 20.
Generating capital that way, which would negate the need. One of the reasons why we want 10% at least coming in is not only for cash solvency, but it's to build the nest egg. And if I have a connection charge, then I'm building a nest egg with growth, and that actually is much more effective than the rate revenue. So you can,
and it's cheaper than borrowing money too.
Yeah.
Right?
The connection charge doesn't help me on the...
No. I'm saying building a nest egg is cheap.
Yeah.
Us doing it ourselves is cheaper than paying someone else.
When you have the option, and it doesn't matter what you're doing utility-wise, public funds are just tough right now, the low-cost loans. So, and some of them require design and a lot of money up front to have that design done. You need flexibility. You need to be able to say, ooh, that's a 7% rate increase. Can we wait a year and do it with our own cash?
And it's just that whenever I see a raise, right, I kind of want to go through my head, what are people going to ask?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When they see a raise, they get, first thing is, oh, I don't want you to raise my rate. Yeah. They don't ask, why are you raising their rate? Right? They say, no. Well, we've got to have a good story. Say, okay, we were recommended we raise it to 20 in 2015, and we didn't. So now we're looking at how we can do it equitably and raising it to 2019 with a COLA adjustment on it, or to 19 with a COLA adjustment on it helps us, you know, make sure we have some capital reserve should we have a big capital project that we need to do.
And we could be really optimistic about that cost won't increase. And and we could okay, get rid of the cost of living, the CPI adjustment. But this is, forecasting is all about taking the middle of the road. I mean, what's reasonable and assuming expenses. And the one thing we haven't set, stormwater every couple of years is coming out with more stringent.
Right.
And
well, that's
it's
another,
program costs, which are
good
labor,
point, right?
Which are expensive costs.
Yep.
And you guys, every stormwater utility, if they're not thinking that these costs are going to escalate more than the other utilities, are just ignoring
them. Yeah, that's a good point. Increased regulations. Right.
I think there's a lot more emphasis in public interest on clean water and the environment and everything, and I think that we're going to continue to see the costs increase in that area.
The stuff that you clear out of catch basins is hazardous waste.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to go to the landfill with that.
Right.
There's a reason, because that is stuff that's coming off the road, came off of our cars.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you know, petroleum-based. This is bad stuff. That's what we're dealing with here. It's so much now is not, it's not about the water itself. It's about what the water is collecting from humans and cars.
And then, like you said, the urban community.
And that is just, those regulations never go down. They go up.
No, I think this all helps us kind of have a, a story to tell, right? Because people are going to come to us and ask, right?
So. The other thing to keep in mind, too, that this falls under the category of unfunded mandates from the state, which is exactly what this is.
Yep.
Yeah, they said, here, we want you to do all this, and you guys figure out how you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here tonight, going, okay, what can we do here?
So really, when I look at these numbers, the long story short is, you know, I concur wholeheartedly. I'd go to 19, I'd build in the CPI, and I would hold off just like we've done all along. Is okay, growth, we cannot ignore it. There's so many tangible benefits to this. Mm-hmm. The lease, I mean, it's right there in front of us. You tell me you got a utility where you only have to do CPI adjustments for next 5 or 6 years, maybe you're lucky. You're darn lucky, and to do that and build some reserves at the same time. So you're not jumping ahead of things.
Right.
You're keeping up with it, but you're still trying to leverage.
No, I think we have a solid story to explain the why, right? Which is what we need.
So it's a little bit more aggressive if we have a high growth, real quick, but
that's not a guarantee.
Well, when we did that last time, we didn't do a rate increase before. So this to me is kind of a middle approach to this, and our flex point is the CPI. You have a good, hey, next year 100-150, fantastic. Boy, those May runs the numbers again. We're good for next year. Don't do the CPI.
Yeah, because we have that option. It's not like that 1% property tax where if you don't take it, you never get it back.
Right.
This is at the discretion of the city council. And,
right. And at 3.6 was 57 cents a month, so it wasn't huge.
Or we will have the money to fund that the stormwater comp plan.
And one of the big capital projects that we have a grant for, it's King County Grant, and it takes them about 2 months to reimburse us after we spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to buy land for $150,000. Likely, I will have a short-term cash loan in another water fund just to buy that land until we get reimbursed from the county and then pay it back, because we don't have that cash built into this, nor could our race to the citizens and no one could have it.
But we'd like to get to that point where you wouldn't have to do that.
2 or 3 years, you've got it. Now you can do that without having to.
But right now, it's going to happen probably next year where we'll have to come and have like a 2 or 3 month loan while we buy it, pay for it, send in all the reimbursement to the county, and let them turn the reimbursement payment back as we pay it back. So I did want to warn you that we still have some short-term capital projects that are 100% funded, but you got to spend the money first. And that's, again, another reason why we need to build up some cash there.
But the other advantage when we borrow from one of the other funds is that when it gets reimbursed,
we can quickly pay it off.
It's reimbursed with interest back to that original fund. Right. So, you know, we're...
It's Peter playing ball.
Yeah.
It's better just not to have the interest at all.
Yeah, better that than send it to the
or go out for a loan or whatever. If you do a loan, you usually have to have 1.3 or 1.5 times the revenue of your expenditure. So your revenue has to get much higher, because I've issued debt before, and when you do debt issues, you have to have a much larger revenue coverage to your expenditures. So that would be even steeper right now. So it's really prudent, I think, for us to go ahead with this rate increase and watch it, really monitor it, and keep our eyes on it, and try to
support that.
Not go for 20, but let's go for 19 and get our cash flow improved. So do you have any other questions for Ashley? He's done this for a lot of cities, and he has a lot of good input.
Thanks for showing us on the model. That was helpful.
Yeah, and he can make changes. He'll be back in the spring. We're going to be looking at sewer rates. We got a lot of looking at the metro piece and the city piece. And
it won't be this simple.
No, it won't be this simple. It'll be more complicated. It'll take us a little longer to get through it, but we'll figure it out also. But we're not here this same urgent cash.
So what's our process going forward?
Process going forward is we're going to have a public hearing on December 3rd, the same night we have our final public hearing on the budget.
Okay.
The public can come and talk. And then we have a schedule for adoption on December 6th, the same night we have the budget scheduled for adoption. And then I can get it to the county by December 13th.
and they can get it calculated in their bills. And then also, all the commercial customers that we have to go to our system and change their rates, and also the 100 that we're going to send to the county, we have to take them out of our system and get them all listed and into the county. And our only common denominator is parcel number, which is, we have account number, we have address, they only have parcel number. And so it takes a bit to do all that, but this will allow us the time to get through that process and get those efficiently transferred to the county. So I have a question.
When it comes, you say businesses, when businesses share parking lots or spaces out in front of the business and they share that, you have multiple businesses, how does that affect them individually?
It's totally by parcel. If they have private arrangements for sharing, but it's not reflected in our rates, we don't address that.
So
they would have to.
Let's use that square as an
example. Right.
Okay, so they're paying X amount of whatever the rate is for that entire building.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that then it gets parceled out to each individual business.
And then their rent
goes up. Yeah. But if, like, the community center somebody's using it part of the strip mall's parking there, that would have to be some type of private arrangement that they would make the equivalent service unit charges for a parking lot in the building go with the parcel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give the discounts for on-site?
What's that?
You give discounts for on-site?
We have a discount for if they have a stormwater system that was put in and meet certain discharge requirements. There's currently a discount.
How much is it?
If they're meeting all of the requirements for treatment and detention, then it would be 80%. But there's some criteria about has it been maintained, have they turned in operation maintenance manual, that type of thing.
A lot of my clients are having difficulty with that.
Yeah, it's a pretty, it's up to 80%. It's pretty high credit. It's something that probably we'd take to the Public Works Committee next year, something to reevaluate.
How many businesses is that?
Well, we've had basically two that have applied in the past and have been granted a credit. And that's Mario Sorci and Diamond Square.
And the school is eligible?
The school is eligible now. I mean, but they have to turn in something, some maintenance records and things to be eligible.
You don't give that for residents?
It doesn't happen automatically. They have to come and apply and turn in the information.
You don't do that for residential plats with their own?
No.
I have to look at the code because we don't have any, so a lot of the older residential.
Any of the new development that's going in.
So we only had two that were eligible before the school, and that was the Mario Sorci's and Diamond Square.
But the development that's coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Each house will pay the full share regardless of whether.
No, because they're maintaining their own. I'd have to look at that. They'd have and have to apply. I don't know.
Andy, do you know?
What was the question?
Oh, are you speaking?
No, I was saying, but I just want to make sure I understand.
So, ask him the question.
I think the question was, would any of the new residential housing be eligible for stormwater credit? Certainly from the design level, what they've designed would meet all of the criteria.
But is that more commercial than
But each homeowner in there pays,
I have to look at the
pays the $19.
Right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
it would depend on how you wrote the credit analysis.
Yeah, and I think it may just be
they all infiltrate. We don't do anything with their system. They own the system. It's their pond. It's their infiltration. Their NPS permits. So it all depends on how you wrote that credit.
Yes.
If you wrote that credit, then every one of those houses, for example, would be able to come in, try through the Tan Trails Homeowners Association, and petition for a reduction. It depends on how you wrote that. I don't know how you wrote that.
Well, I have to go back.
Yeah, and I'd have to go back and review that myself. And would it exempt individual residential? That would be untenable to try and process. I don't think it addresses residential. I think it's more commercial accounts.
That's right, because I believe when we went through this analysis, the whole intent was that your car drive on all the
right.
So yeah. I think you gave the discount to commercials who have to treat their stormwater to a different rate than the homeowner system would treat their system.
Yeah. I think it'd be an administrative nightmare to try and track. Yeah. Well, this guy's applied for it. This guy has it. They're next, you know. Yeah. That costs us three times what it would be to, you know.
I have a question about Cedarbrook. How is that built? Is that built by individual mobile home, or is it built?
It's built as a commercial.
Oh, it is? Oh.
It's built, and same with water. It's built as a commercial. And we've counted up the equivalent surface units.
Which is 75.
And so they're billed at that amount of impervious surface area.
It's less than a home because they're smaller than a home. So they're billed that way. On page 7, I do have, you know, how these rates are collected. And just for residents, the first two blocks up there are collected by the county. And they also have a lifeline rate. So if you get a property tax lifeline rate, you also get a stormwater rate through for us. And we accept that they'll pay us half. So as long as they apply through county and have that. So they have 41 people right now and 1,609 that they collect on residents. And then the business area, we have 28 businesses that are kind of smaller. They're 1.5 units to 4. And their rate, if you go clear over the far right, will go up $4.50 to $12, depending on where they fit in that range of units. We have 16 businesses that will go up from $13.50 to $28.50 a month. And we have 9 that will go from $30 to $67.50 a month. And 1, which is a school, that could go up $100 a month, but they could get a $450 a month discount if they go through this process. So I did want to make sure that we knew that the $3 is really only that one residential, and that we will have some business that will see a little larger rate because they do have a bigger impact on this. We have some special accounts, which are all the new permits we'll get next year. We'll bill them for the whole first year, and then we'll send them to the county. And then we have the Rainier View, and like I said, we handle those because some people are discounted, some aren't, and we just had to keep those in-house here. And then we have the Mobile Home Park, Diamond Square, and those few others that have credits or whatever. And then we bill ourselves, and we have a variety of different unit rates. We have like a couple of $16 rates, but most of ours are a little higher. And we just bill ourselves rather than send it to the county and have the county bill us and whatever. So this is kind of an impact, but I did want to disclose that there are some businesses out there that will see a little larger discount. And we'll send out a newsletter in December and probably put a little flyer in their utility bill. They won't see these rates until February because right at the end of January, it'll go on their bill because it'll be for the month of January. So they won't really see them until in the first part of February when they see their bill. But we'll send them notices ahead of time to let them know.
But the people that get their bill through the taxes, they won't see it until they get their tax.
Right. But we still send newsletters.
And
see that. And then that last page I included was just the old one that showed that we recommended, that our old study recommended we go over $20. Historical purposes, but
that's a good idea.
I did, yesterday, going over this, so picked up the Courier Herald and I picked up Bonnie Lake and their utility rate type expected, and they're expecting the $60 a month higher rate hikes for the water and sewer. So I think a lot of us are, and I got my a notice from City of Auburn that all of my utilities are going up next year, my water, sewer, storm, and garbage. And so, I put down what our total rate. I didn't put that. So the next time out, I'll go, how much will a citizen's rate increase? And I think overall with the sewer pass-through and then the inflationary city sewer and then this $3, a resident will see about a $5 a month total rate increase on their utility bill. And a lifeline will see about $3.
It'd be neat if we could figure out a way to visualize for the typical citizen the relationship between increased regulatory requirements and increased cost.
Yeah.
It's probably impossible to do, but it'd be a good way to, to help people understand that every time there's a new
mandate
from ECO or DNR or whoever comes through, that it requires us to do something different or more, and it adds cost.
I saw a graph that Chris McMean from the City of Tacoma put together, speaking just to that point, showing that when he first started in the water business, the State Department of Health regulations were 15 pages. And so he put the number of pages, and it has gone up exponentially and continues to go up.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that's coming from the feds, but the things that were regulated in the water utility has, over my career, has just gone up incredibly and continues to increase.
Well, it would not be difficult to put a number to it, because most of the line items are self-explanatory. You know, the permit costs.
Yep.
This is, got nothing to do with water flows. So if merely Seth and me took a look at the staffing levels and segregated out actual operational people out in the field from administrative, you just sit there and add those costs up. And like I said, I'm guessing you're...
Because I think that the idea we want to give folks is that this isn't the city saying, hey, you know, Seth needs a new truck, right? So
no,
let's raise the...
It's not.
It's the, okay, the state and the federal government have said, okay, you now need to treat the water this way, right? It's more work, it's more resources, more paperwork, right? So we have to raise, you know, if costs are going to go up to meet those requirements, we have to raise revenue to meet those costs, or else the city's going to go out of business, right? So we want us to be able to pay our bills. We want payroll to go through. So
I think also most people want to help protect
the water. That's
quality.
What I'm saying is
water.
I think they would understand
water quality.
That's a big deal.
Yep, I think they would understand, and it would be a lot more an easier pill to swallow for people to say, "Why am I paying an extra $5 a month or whatever?" Right? Well, you're like, "Well, these regulations came through, and you know, over time, we've gone from 2 regulations to 20. So now your costs are that much higher. Cost of living goes up, right?" So
the major increase to Kenmore was a program, and had to hire a stormwater engineer.
Yeah.
And the only reason they didn't need to do that to clean catch basins or mow ditches,
right,
they needed it because the program requirements were so, have become so intense, and so it requires a full-time staff position.
And Seth's new position next year in Public Works is administrative staff help with those regulations and things that
the
we're doing.
Monitoring
and he added
staff.
Last
and
year.
I think people
a utility person.
I think people in Washington are just, they're just, you know, they've got tax fatigue, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they just, every time they turn around, taxes and fees are going up for something, right? And they don't see how all that ties together and understand that. So I think it's good for us to be able to, you know, as the council, be able to say, this is why, right? It's not just because, we're not just rubber stamping this because we'd like to raise taxes. You know, we get in the back room, smoke a cigar, and laugh, right? No, it's because, right, it's not the Monopoly game, right? So it's, we have regulations we have to meet, right? And those are good regulations.
Yeah.
You want clean water, right? You want salmon to have some place to lay eggs, right?
What your kids are swimming.
Yeah, you want your kids to swim in a clean creek, right? So there's, you know, gives and takes there. So but I think it's good to be able to have that story for them.
Okay.
It'd be nice if we could figure out some way to, you know, I mean, not just, it's not us, it's not just Black Diamond that's doing this, right?
Yeah,
it's the whole,
no, it really is.
Whole
and state. I think, like, those raids were last year's raids, and we didn't go and say, what are you planning, what are you planning?
Right.
Because we had, this came kind of quickly, and we put it together pretty
this
quickly.
This right. is rates that are on the books now, not what people, other people are planning to do.
Yeah.
Right.
They're seeing.
It would be interesting to figure out how Maple Valley gets away with nine.
Yeah, that's a phone call.
But that's what I'm saying.
And one thing you could do is pull their budget. And,
yeah, but they don't do that.
Well, it may be simple things like if they do fund street sweeping out of their street department, there'd be things. I'm not sure. You have to look at their budgets, how they fund things.
Yeah.
Or maybe their ESU is half the side of ours, right?
Because remember, our street system is only gets gas tax and the TBD. That's it. There's no property tax support for streets, so we're. I don't have the ability to shift some things over to the street department.
That could very easily be that.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, though. So if you have any other questions, we appreciate Mr. Emily putting together the model so quickly, because we called on him quite quickly. We discovered this really is a good problem.
Well, I appreciate too the fact that you can see what the impacts are.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you know, basically black and white or black and red.
Yes.
Yeah.
But kind of enroll again and then start working on saving.
Yeah. I really like the model approach. I think that really helps to show the different scenarios out there.
Ken, we're just past the 30%.
Yeah, that's huge.
Two stage.
Wow.
And then they're going to 4%.
Wow.
And that's
huge.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the last time they raised their rates.
Yeah.
It had been 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So I think we're all, you know, there's a lot of us because of the recession that we're now starting to come back and we just have to recover, you know. Well, we also as a council, when we put in the first year the TBD was available, we didn't do the transportation benefit district because we knew that our citizens couldn't handle $20 increases in their motor vehicle fees. But we did pass it a few years ago because the economy was coming back, people were doing better, and we only had like maybe one complaint. And so I think people aren't as stupid as some out there think we all are, because we recognize that costs go up and somebody's going to pay the bill. And we live here and use these services. So,
And I was really concerned not to get too high away, because it would have been easy to say, well, we're now going to 20. In fact, the mayor said to me, why aren't we going to 20? And
I asked the same question.
That my concern was, let's be cautious and not do too high rate. Let's do the minimum.
Well, 4 years ago, we said, let's be cautious, let's not go very high. And look where we are.
I know.
Years later.
Because we didn't do it incrementally. Like, if we can get on a good plane right now, where, especially doing the cost of living adjustments, that just takes some of this other stuff.
He said that really helps a lot.
People are going to complain about any rate increase, but nobody will pat you on the back for not having done something for 4 years and then having to do the exact same. If you had said, I'm going to do 2% a year for 4 years and didn't do it, and then did 8% at the end, they would complain to you. Well, I was going to do it anyway. I didn't. You weren't nice to me back then. You didn't thank me for not doing it.
Yeah.
So there's absolutely no gain.
Well, now we just use Kenmore as our example.
Or Buckley.
But that was, and that's why they were doing it, was programmatic changes.
Everybody's going to be doing it because our economy is.
Well, and the rules are coming out, and people are seeing that. They're going
I mean, and that's so easily explained by, and I think that, you know, page count or whatever, with the requirements that are coming out of state now regarding stormwater.
The biggest player in the state, King County.
And the fact that we've got to do a stormwater comp plan update someday. There's money involved in that. It's got to come from someplace.
King County is the biggest player, so economy of scale, and they're at $267 a year.
Yeah.
So you're still under them.
Oh, well, that's nice to know. They've got, you know, a half a million more people than we do.
Yeah, and as we know, there's no perfect, you know, miles of roads, all these sort of things, there's variables, but $20, $19 a month is...
All right, for me...
There's no red flag going on.
I can afford to pay the extra increases. We do have citizens here that have a hard time, but that's when they need to come into May and talk to her. Mm-hmm. And I don't do you have. I know you've got the low income, more senior related
disability.
And
you're
disability.
On social,
but if you're kind of in the low income but working,
it's a pretty lenient program.
Okay. People do have some options because we do have some. Pretty low income folks.
I have a few clients that set up kind of a give it forward program where you could come in when you paid your bill, or you could contribute something
round up and
to somebody else who maybe didn't qualify for the strict programs, but
nice.
It was like, okay, we know this family's having a tough time over here because we see them every month when they're scribbling out the check.
We had some good communities, organizations that really help in that area.
Well, and I know the community center hands out vouchers for certain, like power bills. I don't know that. Do they do water, sewer?
Yes,
sometimes
they do.
So, I mean, there are some resources.
There are. I have a list.
But we do have some.
Everything helps.
Yeah. People call. I give them a list of all the resources up there. So, like to help people. So, thank you all for being here.
Thank you. So do we need to make a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
I move we adjourn this meeting.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah. And before 7.